For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa. Lawmakers in Richmond consider internet restrictions. Dozens of environmental bills meet their end in the assembly, while a gun rights bill stays alive for now. Confederate monuments win protection, and sexual harassment training for legislators gets hung up. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, February 1st, 2018.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
Lawmakers in Richmond are exploring the limits of free speech, and as Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports, one member of the House of Delegates wants to put restrictions on the internet.
Devices that have access to the internet in Virginia should come out of the box pre-blocked, preventing access to websites that promote child pornography or prostitution. If users want access, they would need to pay $20, money that would go to the Virginia Prevention of Human Trafficking Fund. That's the idea behind a bill introduced by Republican Delegate Dave LaRocque of Loudoun County.
Human trafficking and child exploitation, I think, are some of the darkest activities that take place in our society. This goes to one of the few places where you can limit the internet.
Limiting the internet? That's a terrible idea, says Democratic Delegate Marcus Simon of Falls Church.
If there's criminal activity happening on a web page, it needs to be shut down. That's a case-by-case basis for prosecutors and investigators to make. But it's not something that we at the legislative level ought to be making value judgments about.
LaRocque says pornography is a public health crisis. Simon says lawmakers shouldn't be making decisions about what websites their constituents are looking at. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
Bills to give localities the authority to remove or relocate Confederate monuments have been rejected in subcommittee at the state legislature. Craig Carper reports.
Democratic House Minority Leader David Toscano of Charlottesville patroned one of the bills.
People have a lot of different views about monuments, and so I don't want to take the position that we should take them all down or keep them all up. I think that we should make the decisions at the local level based on local conditions and local history.
As the capital of the Confederacy, Virginia has more Confederate monuments than any other state in the nation. Most were erected during the Jim Crow era. Many Democrats, including Governor Ralph Northam, say Virginia's Confederate monuments glorify slavery. Supporters of the statues say tearing them down would amount to erasing the state's history. With the defeat of these bills, Virginia's Confederate monuments will likely stay in place for at least another year.
Craig Carper, WMRA News, Capitol Square.
Lawmakers are talking about investments in renewable sources of energy, but as Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports, some members of the General Assembly are frustrated by the discussion.
Republicans don't want to mandate a renewable portfolio standard. They don't want to allow people to offset the cost of their power bills using solar panels, and they really don't want to implement a moratorium on fossil fuels by 2035. That last one was a bill introduced by Democratic Delegate Sam Rasul of Roanoke, one of dozens of environmental bills that were snuffed out this week.
My bill was to have a conversation about what the long-term plan should be, especially given the innovation that's been happening. We should be able to embrace this disruption, and any time we can innovate to help ratepayers and consumers, I'm a big fan of it.
Republican Delegate Terry Kilgore says Rasul's bill would have been impractical.
You couldn't do that and operate the grid right now. You have to have gas, you have to have some coal, and that would have just not been a workable solution. But I think all in all, we'll come out with a good bill in the end.
Kilgore is working on a plan that would divert money from ratepayer refunds from utility companies, who will then invest in wind power and solar energy. Critics say utilities have been overcharging people for years and that that money belongs to consumers. If Republicans really want to invest in renewable sources of energy, they say they should find that money somewhere else. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
A bill to mandate sexual harassment training for legislative employees became the subject of partisan bickering on the House floor Wednesday. Soraya Wintersmith reports.
Delegate Vivian Watts, who's the longest-serving woman delegate in the House, and Delegate Roxanne Robinson had slightly different versions of the bill to require employees to undergo mandatory sexual harassment training. On the chamber floor Wednesday, the Speaker of the House cast the deciding vote to move Delegate Robinson's version forward. She says her training bill avoids merging rules that guide employees from two separate branches of government.
You know, we have a separation of powers in the Commonwealth, and so had we followed the other amendments, that would have put us under the executive branch.
Robinson says the bill will likely come up for its final House vote Thursday. From the state capitol in Richmond, I'm Saraya Wintersmith.
A bill to ban bump stocks, like the one used in the Las Vegas shooting last year, was killed by the Senate Finance Committee, who cited cost concerns. Dozens of bills to expand gun control in Virginia have now been killed by the House and Senate. One Senate bill that would allow weapons to be carried in places of worship is headed to the House, but Governor Ralph Northam says don't expect it to become law.
If that bill that says that you can have a gun in church gets to my desk, this pen right here is going to put some ink on it and we're going to veto it.
The House Militia, Police, and Public Safety Committee is expected to kill over a dozen more gun control bills tonight. Dairy farmers are facing hard times due to a flooded milk market and low prices. At the same time, many hungry families lack good quality protein in their diets. Now, some congregations in Harrisonburg are hoping to help alleviate both problems with one ministry, cheese. WMRA's Christopher Clymer-Kurtz reports.
First, a sermon. Because long before Virginia's dairy industry, there was Jesus.
We do feel called to do this because of the example that we have seen in Jesus.
Mark White is senior pastor at Harrisonburg Baptist Church.
People know of the miracles of feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000. There's just so many different examples of Jesus using food to connect with people, to provide them with hope, meet a physical need, and then draw them closer to himself.
Hunger is a reality White and his parishioners try to alleviate a bit each week in their Saturday lunch program, but recently they also started thinking about another problem, too. Struggling dairy farmers. Now they're buying cheese made in part from local surplus milk and distributing it to the hungry. To learn more about what dairy farmers are facing these days, I visited Randy Inman, a third-generation dairy farmer. He farms east of Mount Crawford, milks several hundred cows. He knows too well the current financial reality of milk production.
We have already seen several dairies go out in the area, and I will suspect that we will see several more that will get out of the dairy business because of the lack of cash flow.
He expects that for at least the first half of this year, his farm will be operating at a loss.
We're eating equity every month because we cannot make the milk for what they're paying us for it for the next 6 months, what they're projecting to be paying for it for the next 6 months. And some of the guys are like, I'm old enough, I'm done eating up my equity, I'm just going to sell.
Eric Paulson of the Virginia State Dairymen's Association said that one of every 7 days' worth of milk production in the U.S. is exported. He is concerned about proposed changes to the North American Free Trade Agreement, which could impact a significant portion of exports. He also said that when markets pay too little for dairy farmers to get by, a natural response is for them to produce more in order to compensate, which only furthers oversupply. Paulson said that a lot of dairy farms across the country have ceased operating.
We've lost about 10% of the dairy farms in Virginia over the past 18 months. That's a nationwide problem. Wisconsin, for instance, is losing about a dairy farm and a half every day. They lost 500 dairy farms last year. Pennsylvania, the same thing.
And this year?
The beginning of 2018 is actually looking a little bit worse. There's just too much milk out on the market.
At the same time,
it's amazing how many people actually need food or don't have enough to feed their children on a monthly basis.
Jane Colony Mills is the executive director of Loaves and Fishes, a food pantry in Charlottesville that gives a week's worth of food to about 1,500 families a month. She said the food that people and businesses donate to the pantry is, quote, beautiful. But she also has faced a reality. Some foods are less readily available than others.
It would be brilliant if food pantries, if people in the distribution industry could give healthy, protein-filled meals on a regular basis. But our only consistent protein is beans. That's the most consistent protein that we have.
In Verona, in the warehouse of the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank, which distributes food for about 22 million meals a year across 25 Virginia counties and 8 cities, CEO Michael McKee said that dairy products are hard to come by.
Those are items that are staples in every refrigerator in America, it seems. That means that it's very difficult for food banks to acquire dairy and cheese as donations. When we get it, it flies off the shelves, but they're just not very common.
It's in this context, hungry people in need of protein, dairy farmers facing dire financial realities, and Jesus, that the cheese ministry emerged 2 months ago. The Harrisonburg Initiative has raised funds to buy cheese for local distribution to those in need from the Lanco Penland Milk Marketing Cooperative, which has dairy farm members here in our area and a cheese plant in Maryland.
This is a totally different category than most people are familiar with.
Keith Turner works with farmers every day as the feed division manager for Rockingham Cooperative in Harrisonburg and regularly attends Harrisonburg Baptist Church. He helped hatch the cheese ministry idea and said many other church groups are participating too, including congregations of Mennonites, Brethren, Episcopalians, and United Methodists. He knows that the cheese ministry's impact on the hurting dairy market will be incremental, but he said it's really good cheese.
This cheese is made with whole milk, salt, and enzymes. That's it. There are no artificial additives to increase yield. This is pure. This is pure cheese.
As of last week, the ministry had raised more than $50,000. Already 4,000 pounds of cheese have been ordered and distributed locally, and Turner expects another delivery in February, this one of 15,000 pounds of cheese, with more to follow in the coming year. For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Clymer-Kurtz.
Learn more about that story at WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Thursday.